Okay, Boker Tov. We're on Daf Gimel Amud Aleph. We have a long road to hoe today. We will see a goodly amount of Agadah. But we're going to start out with a continuation of the investigation of Hazkarat Geshem with an ancillary request, which is Tal. And one that we're all familiar with Tal, because many of us do say Morita Tal. But another one that we're not familiar with is Ruchot, and another one that we're certainly not familiar with is Avin. So just to clarify what they are. Tal would be the request, the mention, Morita Tal, not a request, but rather the mention of God making the dew fall, the Mashiv HaRuach as a standalone, which I mentioned yesterday, and another bracha or hazkara that we might mention when it is cloudy, which would be Mekasher Avim. All right, those three are going to come up. Tana, the Talu v'ruchot lo chivu chachamim l'hazkir. So, mentioning God's power with the wind alone, Mashiv HaRuach, or Tal, Morida Tal, there is no chiyuv, imbal hazkir, mazkir, but if you want to, you can. Now, what's the reason that there is no chiyuv? And on the other hand, that you may. In other words, it's not prohibited. It's not something that you may not add to tefillah. My time, Avon Chanilu Fisha, Ein Netzarin. These are things that just never stop. In other words, the climactic mentions in tefillah must all be things of a particular season, and that you mention them during their season. And the machloket in the Mishnah and in the Braita that we saw yesterday is simply when that season is. V'talmud alon delo miatzar, and as I mentioned yesterday, Chachamim were decidedly non-empiricists. So when asked the question, how do we know that Tal doesn't stop? The answer is not, well, we go outside and we see that it's there every morning, right? Because we've got a pasuk. By the way, this is the first time we hear about Eliyahu. He comes out of nowhere. And that's where he goes back to, if you recall. But not exactly nowhere. But Eliyahu Atishbi, we don't hear about him being born. We don't hear about him being raised as an Avi or anything unlike with the Yishayahu or Amos, where we hear a little background of where they come from, Yirmiyahu. Pasuk Aleph, Perek Yud Zayin, and Melachim Aleph. Eliyahu HaTishbi, by the way, why is he called Tishbi? Just a little parshanut. Why is he called Tishbi? Because he is from the town called Toshev, which is in northwest Jordan. Why is he called HaGiladi? Because Toshev is in Hare Gilad. Why is he called Avi? That's a good question. Okay, so now, just for the song. So he comes and he approaches Achav and he says to him, and if you look at the psukim, almost assuredly he said this to him in Yericho. Look at the last two psukim of the previous parak and you'll see it. Just something for yourself. And he said, Chai Hashem, meaning there's an oath, he's making an oath, that there will not be for these coming years, there will not be any Tal Umatar unless I say so. Uchtiv, and 3 years later or so, in Perak Yerchet, Lech Heira'e O Achav Etnam Matar Al Pnei Adama. What does God say? Go tell Achav there will be rain. What's left out of here? Tal. V'inu Tal Lo Ka'amar Lai. My time, Mishum Delo Miatzar. Because Tal doesn't stop. Well, that raises a huge question. If Tal doesn't stop, then what did Eliyahu say? There will be no Tal Matar. He should have said there will be no Matar. So what did he take the Shavua for and include Tal in the Shavua? In other words, he was saying Matar, rain, and Tal, which is like Matar. Tal, which causes things to grow, will not fall. So in other words, basically what he's saying is nothing is going to grow over the next 3 years, and that's the drought, that's where he goes into the Nachal, and the ravens feed him, etc. So that's why he made the Shua, there will be no Tal Matar. Well, he had the Tal de Bracha, so why didn't he then mention, why didn't God tell him, go tell Achav that I'm restoring the Matar and the good Tal? Mishum Delo Minkar Milta. Because you wouldn't recognize it. In other words, Tal de Bracha is something you don't see. Rain, you see. So you can't distinguish it Tal de Bracha and Tal de Shein Lo Bracha. The fact of the matter is that one of them makes things grow. But because you're not going to recognize it, if I would say, okay, now there's going to be Tal de Bracha, you'd look around, you wouldn't see anything different. Now, that's Tal. Ruchot v'nalon zolom yatsri. How do we know that wind doesn't stop? Now, this is actually a lot straighter question than it sounds. It sounds like a bizarre question. I go outside and feel if the rain, the wind stops, and the simple answer would be, it kind of depends on where you live. There are some places where there's always wind, some places where there's not. The question here really is, what's the definition of wind? And I know that sounds a little Clintonian, but how do you define wind? If you define wind as atmospheric movement, you have to agree it never stops. If you define wind as something that's going to blow other things over, you have to agree that in almost all places in the world, it doesn't happen 24/7. So the real question is, what do you mean when you say wind, such that you would say it never stops? So for that, we have a pasuk. Beautiful pasuk painful pasuk, but the imagery is very nice, in Zechariah. Ki ke'arba ruchot ha'shamayim perasti etchem ne'um Adonai. I have scattered you like the four winds of the earth. My ka'amrale, what was Zechariah telling the people? Ile ma'achi ka'amrale ha'kodesh baruch hu l'Yisrael. Divad v'tin chu bi'arba ruchei da'alma. I have spread you through the four corners of the earth. Right? In other words, the idea of the diaspora. But that's, of course, not true. Because when were we ever gola south?
Argentina.
Well, Zechariah's time. Zechariah's time. What?
Who went to
the Yitzhak? The question is whether you'd call that south. I think they generally thought of it as west. I don't know. But that's Zechariah. Tamar is post-Zechariah. Tamar is post-Zechariah. Otherwise, Tamar would be like Ethiopian.
And the answer is?
Right? But I don't know. But that's why the Gemara doesn't ask that. But the Gemara could ask that. But it doesn't need to, because look at the wording. It doesn't say ki be'ar baruchot ha'shamayim. It says ki'ar baruchot ha'shamayim. Hi'achi ki'ar ba, be'ar ba mi ba'yalei. If you want to say that I've spread you through the four corners of the earth, it would say be'ar ba. Elohachi kamarlu. This is what he says. Kishem by the way, just a simple pshat read. Ki'ar baruchot ha'shamayim, I've spread you out, means I've sent you to all the corners of the earth, just like the wind goes all around. But not necessarily the four directions. But they say it on a homiletic level. Kashem she'yif shar la'olam below ruchot, tach yif shar la'olam below Yisrael. In other words, this now becomes a beautiful statement. Just like the world always needs wind, the world always needs Am Yisrael. Am Rabbi Chanina, hilkach v'motach hamas. So what's the conclusion of this? The tal and ruach, you may say, but you don't need to say. Hilkach v'motach hamas, summertime. Don't start singing, please. Amar Mashiva Ruach, ein machzirin oto. So if you say Mashiva Ruach in the summer, just Mashiva Ruach, you don't have to daven again. Let's say, and this could happen right after Pesach, you might say Mashiva Ruach, and you stop yourself, you don't have to fix anything. Amar Morina Geshem, machzirin. Unlike Rabbi Eliezer, who said you could say Mashiva Ruach and Geshem all year, remember? But the halacha is not like that. Winter time. If you didn't say Mashiva Ruach in the winter, you also don't have to repeat it. In other words, Ruach is always optional. So let's say you somehow got a little distracted and you said, thank you, Morida Geshem. You'd be fine. Mashiva Ruach can always be there and never has to be there. It's another option. You could actually refer to the wind and or the tal, not by their presence, but by their cessation. That on occasions God makes the wind go away, and on occasion God stops up the tal. Which, of course, we just said neither of those things is essentially true, that the wind and the tal are always there. Nonetheless, you could be referring to high winds, and you could be referring to heavy tal or tal de bracha. That's also okay. Meaning, any mention that your heart moves you or your recent experience of the great outdoors moves you to say, vakasha. You were just out in a great windstorm, and you want to say, Mashiva Ruach, vakasha. You just woke up in the morning to get, to go outside, get your morning paper or whatever, and you saw a beautiful dew on the leaves. You want to say Marina Tal? Tana, the Avimu v'Ruachot lo chedu chachamim azkir. We have another tradition, which is not only Ruach but Avim. You would say Makasher Avim, the one who brings the clouds together. Vimbal azkir mazkir. That's another optional one. My time, huh? Now, what's going to be the reason if we're going to be consistent? Why is it that you can mention clouds but you don't need to? If we're going to be consistent, what would be the reason? Why did we say you can mention Tal and Ruchot?
Because they never stop.
You have to say clouds never stop. Right? Mishum v'lo me'atzri. Now this one is empirically a little difficult. V'lo me'atzri, v'atan of Yosef, y'atzarat ha'shamayim. We have our pasuk in Kriyat Shema. By the way, throughout the first parak, that becomes a critical pasuk, because y'atzarat ha'shamayim. We already dealt with it in the first daf. Min ha'avim u'min ha'ruchot. When the Torah says Yatzarat HaShemayim, that means God will make the heavens stop having clouds and wind. Maybe it means what we all think it means when we say Kriyat Shema. Yatzarat HaShemayim means he's going to stop rain. It says Yatzarat HaShemayim, v'lo yiyamatar. So what's Yatzarat HaShemayim mean? So poetically we say he's going to stop up the heavens to make there be no rain. But homiletically, we say the atzar, the volume atzar is rain. What's the atzar tashemaim? Haman became atzar tashemaim. Min avim, min aruchot, which means you could have a perfectly cloudless, which for some people is a very nice thing, but a perfectly cloudless day, which is a bad sign in the winter because it means that there's going to be no rain whatsoever. So now, kasha ruchot aruchot, kasha avim avim. You just told me that ruchot and avim never stop, and now you're telling me that there's a kolah, the atzarat ha'shamayim, that God will make them stop. So how do we resolve the contradiction? Avim avim lo kasha. Here, obviously, the clouds is not one thing. There's lots of different kinds of clouds. Right? Ha b'charpe, ha b'afle. So the distinction they make is not between cirrus and cumulus. Thank you. What? Connie.
Cumulonimbus?
Yeah. Okay. So we're not making distinctions that have Latin names for them, but rather charpe va'afle, which means the clouds that come before a rainstorm and the clouds that come after a rainstorm. I, for life of me, do not understand what this means. If somebody can explain, fine. They're saying that the clouds that come before a rainstorm never stop. The ones that come after a rainstorm, if there is no rainstorm, so there are, they aren't. They don't exist. It's true. Ruchota ruchot lo kasha. Ha baruch mitzuya baruch she'ina mitzuya. There we go. Katrina is not what we want to talk about, but a strong wind, a wind that would, by the way, have any serious effect on the environment, that happens or doesn't happen. And by the way, that can be a very positive or a very negative climactic thing. You've got a very positive wind that spreads the rain throughout and that allows the grain to be exposed to things, etc., and allows people to write great national anthems. Ruach she'ina mitzuya chazi levedari. What are you talking about? Even a ruach she'ina mitzuya is something that you could use and you benefit from, so why isn't there a chiyuv to mention that? Because they come and they don't, and they're not there. And therefore, since they're beneficial, because you would use it for winnowing, which is a very critical piece of the agronomic system. So why don't you mention mashiva ruach? Because ruach does come, but not all the time. All right, and the answer is efshar v'nafata, because you don't need the unusual wind for winnowing, because you could use a sifter, you could use a machine. There's other ways to winnow without the wind. What? Chazay dari is for a threshing floor. You need it for the threshing floor. Now, Tana, avim baruchot shniot lamatar. This is now not a halachic statement as much as a valuation. That clouds and wind are second only to rain in their benefit. Hechidami, amar ulei teraviuda devata mitra. In other words, the wind and the clouds that come after the rain are sort of supportive for the effect of the rain. Mameir deval yutahi. Wait, you're telling me that stuff's good? Vakti v'itena adonai matar tachan vakvi afar. This is in the Kalah in Dvarim. That God is going to make your rain turn into dust and dirt. That's talking about the wind after the rain. In other words, it rains, and that's good, and then a big wind comes and fouls everything up. So even when there is rain, it's not going to be helpful. So how are you telling me that the wind that comes after the rain is a helpful thing? That's part of the curse. So lokasha hada atanecha hada atarazia. This is an answer you would have come on your own, which is, if it's a gentle wind, it's very good. If it's a stern wind, then it's bad, because here you have the rain fall and make everything grow, and then a stern wind comes and messes up all the seeds, and etc. Vivaite mahad ma'alavak adlo ma'alavak, which, by the way, has to do with the previous circumstance. Meaning, If you have wind that comes after the rain, and then it raises dust, then that means that that rain came after a long drought. So here's the thing. You're going to have a long drought. Then you're going to daven a little bit, and then it's going to rain. And you're going to feel, ooh, good. And then a big wind is going to come, and all the dirt that's still dry because the rain didn't saturate yet is going to kick up and mess everything up. So if you have a wind that kicks up the dust, then your rain has not been very helpful. If, on the other hand, it's either saturated enough or lighting, or the wind is light enough, it doesn't kick up dust, then indeed it is helpful. The Amar Rav Yehuda, Zika Devata Mitra, Kemitra. Rav Yehuda said even better. He said, not, wind isn't like a second level help to the rain. Wind after the rain is like rain. Even Devata Mitra, Kemitra. The clouds that come after the rain are also like rain. Now, if you think about it, things are powerful about this. You think about it, it rains, and it rains in maybe one section, another section it's not as saturated, but if a wind comes along gently and sort of moves things around a little bit, and it comes maybe during the rain or at the tail of the rain, it could spread out through the rain. Clouds coming after rain is very important. Why?
It keeps the moisture in so it doesn't evaporate right off.
Right, exactly. Allows the ground to saturate so that the sun doesn't come in immediately, drop the rain, and then the little itsy-bitsy-body spider comes out. Shimsha devata mitra kitre mitri. The sun coming after the rain is like double rain. What's the reason for that? Now that we contradicted ourselves, we'll fix it. Because here the idea is that the rain has saturated the ground, and now the sun comes out and gives all of the photosynthetic and every other piece of growth that the sun provides. It's a great system. But now which is it? Clouds or sun? Which is the best thing? So the mute gilhei delelia. As opposed to some sort of a shine at night. I guess if it rains at night, so then it's not very helpful because you don't have the sun afterwards. Rishim shadaveni karchi. This is the one that's really the kicker, is when the sun peeks out between the clouds. Evidently, they understood that that's not very helpful for either thing. It could dry up the rain, but nevertheless, it won't produce the necessary nutrients. Amar Rava, ma'ale talga l'ture k'chamisha mitre la'ara. This is something that in Eretz Yisrael they probably would not have been as aware of. They say the snow is as valuable to the mountains as five times the value of rain on the regular earth. Of course, we understand that because of the snowpack. Shenemar kilashela gomar heve aretz v'geshem matar v'geshem mitrotuzo. Count them and you see five mentions of rain in one form or another. This is the pasuk in Iyov. That's what God declares about the snow. The Amarava Talga Luture, the snow is for the mountains. Mitra Razia Ilane, a strong wind is good for deciduous trees. Mitra Necha Lepere, a light wind is good for fruit trees. Urfile Afilu Lefarsida De Tute Kala Mahanyale, a light mist is good even for little berries and little things that are growing. My Urfila, why are they called Urfila? Why is that mist called Urfila? Uru Pile. It's sort of like saying wake up seeds. That's why it's called Urfila. It's a play on words. Urfila is a mist. Why is it called Urfila? Ura Pile. Wake up seeds. The Amarava, Hait Surfim Rabbanan. Here we go. Our rabbis like seeds. A student, Dami the Farsida de Tute Kola. He is like, he's like a seed. The kema de navat navat. Once he starts growing, there's no stopping him. The seed, once it starts growing, it continues growing. Once you see promise from a student, you see, and you see this, of course, in many fields. Once somebody kind of makes that big breakthrough, then there's no stopping him. The amarava haitzum ravanan deratach. When you see a talmid chacham gets angry, o raita hu dekamar tachalei. This is something that talmid chacham has to be very careful about. It's nice to say about them, but very careful. It's the Torah that's giving them that passion. God says, my words are like fire. So in other words, a person has imbued themselves and imbibed Torah to the point where they personify Torah. When they get angry, it's the heat of the Torah that's angry. The Amar Rashi, Kashek Kabarzel. Kashek Kabarzel doesn't mean stubborn. It means who is strong-willed. Like iron, Eino Tavin Chacham. You have a Talmid Chacham who is not strong-willed, then he's not a real Talmid Chacham. Why? What's the second half of the Pasuk? Shenemar uchafati shifotei sela. My words are like fire and like a hammer that causes the sparks to fly off of the flint. Amar Rabbi Abba Ravashi, Atu Mehatam at Inula. You guys use those psukim. We in Eretz Yisrael have different psukim. Amar Mehacham at Inula. The Eretz Yisrael of Anah Barzel. How is Eretz Yisrael described? It's the land of the seven species. It's a beautiful land. It's a land in which its rocks are iron. And the simple meaning is the ability to quarry. Al tikre avaneha ela boneha. Its builders. And who are its builders? Al tikre banayach ela bonayach. Tavidei chachamim. They are strong as steel. Amra vina filu hachi nibayla neinush tamelach nafshe benichuta. Yeah, that's good. You could be as strong as steel, but you should still conduct yourself in a gentle manner. Shenemar raser kasvi libacha. This is a pasuk in Kohelet that many people first learned not as a pasuk in Kohelet, but as a line in Igaret HaRamban, where he quotes the pasuk and he quotes the drasha, famous letter that a lot of people have the minig of reading every Erev Shabbos. The letter that the Ramban wrote to his son, the Yerat HaMusar, is a beautiful, beautiful letter telling him how to, sort of general rules of how to conduct himself. In any case, so in other words, yes, you can be very strong-willed, but it should come out, your behavior should come out in a gentle way. Good. Amar Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani, Amar Rabbi Yonatan. Shlosha shaloka hogei. This is a critique on characters who are not antipathetic characters in Tanakh. Two of them are certainly sympathetic, and one is, I mean, they're all three sympathetic characters, they're all protagonists. Nonetheless, each one of them made an inappropriate request. Inappropriate because they opened the door to a range of possibilities, not the entire range of which would have a positive result for them. And nonetheless, in some cases, they were answered positively. So, two of them were answered nonetheless in an appropriate way for what they really meant. And the other one was answered in a way that was not appropriate for what he really meant, but was, if you will, appropriate for what he asked. Right? Like they say, you got to be very careful what you ask for, because you might get it. You got to make your requests very careful. I gain the monkey's paw. Eloin, who are they? Eliezer Eben Avraham. That's important to note. In the story of the servant of Avraham going to find a wife for Yitzchak, there is no name mentioned. Chazal understand, they take it as a given that that is Eliezer, and that's how he's always referred to in Chazal. But he's not mentioned. He's continually called Eben Avraham throughout the parsha. Right? Then this is the story of going to get a wife, the story of Rivka. Shaul ben Kish. What particular story about Shaul? It's the story of the war with Goliath, that scene in Emek Ha'ilah. Yiftach HaGiladi. Yiftach HaGiladi was perhaps the least successful of all the Shoftim. He has one very famous Perek Yod Aleph that ends up in the beginning of Perek Yod Bet with a terrible civil war where 42,000 members of Shevet Ephraim are killed because they can't say Good Shabbat. All right? Take a look in Perek Yod Bet. Tzibolet. What's the story? Eliezer of Avraham, Dichtiv, Hayan, Arash, Shamayla, Altina, Chadech. What does he say to God? Whatever girl comes out and says, I'll give you some water, I'll feed you camels, that's the girl I'm going to take. She could even be lame, she could even be disfigured, whatever. Because he didn't say anything about, as long as she's appropriate, and she's attractive, and she's healthy, and also she comes and says that, he makes it a blanket statement. All right? Nonetheless, they answered him nicely, and he said, Nalo Rivka. And they ended up bringing Rivka, the gorgeous Rivka came out. Now, that, of course, you could say is not bischut Eliezer, but bischut Yitzchak. Shaul ben Kish, Tichtiv, Aya Isha Sheyakeni Yashon HaMelech Oshak Yerobet Bito Yitemo. Shaul got so frustrated with his paralysis and the paralysis of all of his soldiers in face of the threat of Goliath that he promised anybody who would kill Goliath would become very rich, would have his father's house be made tax, given a tax amnesty in perpetuity. And he would be able to marry the king's daughter. Now, in some cases, you might argue that the king's daughter is part of the price you pay for the other things, right? But that's Michal. Yachol afilu ever, afilu mamzer. You might even have a jerk come out. It might be some sort of lowlife who happens to know how to kill Goliath, and then he's stuck having to marry his daughter off to a lowlife. Hashivu kohogen, v'nizam in lo David. So he got lucky, and David killed Goliath. A good son-in-law. Yiftach ha-giladi, and by the way, in-law-parent relations have never been the same since Shaul and David. Yiftach ha-giladi, dichtiv, ayah, yotzeh, asher, yotzeh, yidal, teh, veti. What did Yiftach do? Yiftach made a neder. And he said, God, if you allow me to destroy Ammon, then the first thing that comes out of my house I'll bring as a korban. Right? Yachol afilu davar tamei, which is a very strange question. Right? Because it turned, they should have said yachol afilu bito. I would say yachol afilu davar tamei. What if a horse walked out of his house or a donkey? You'd have to bring that as a korban. Hashiru shalok kahogen. So they stuck it to him. Nitamnalo bito. What was the first thing to come out of his house? His daughter. Now, of course, the whole story is bizarre. If you're his daughter, I mean, from a halachic perspective. If you're his daughter, and the father said, I'm making a neder, whatever comes out of my house first, I'm going to bring as a korban and kill. Your daughter walks out and dances in front of her father, celebrating the victory, and the father says, oh, I made a neder. What should her answer be? So you made a neder. What does that affect me? You can't make a neder that affects another person. Or, go to the Pinchas and be shalom neder. Or, excuse me, turn around and run away. Instead, what happens? He kills her. Very hard parsha to understand. Behind the Kamaru Navili Yisrael, this is what Yirmiyahu said. Seth, you're about to say something.
No, I think some of the Rishonim say that he sent her to the monastery.
Yeah. Take a look. I'll, if you want, I'll email you a copy of Josh Berman's Dr. Josh Berman's article on that. Points out that Chazal never mentioned anything of the sort. It first shows up among French Rishonim who lives within several miles of monasteries. And he points out that each one of the Rishonim describes where she, how she lived based on pretty much
monastery
a monastery nearby. It gets to the point that Abravanel claims this is where the Christians got the idea of a monastery from, Bat Yiftach.
Right.
That's come full circle. But Chazal understands very simply that he fulfilled the neder and he killed her. Hatsari ein begilad im rofe ein sham. Right, this is what the Navi says. Is there balm in Gilead? It's really a question. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no help? Because you did things that I never commanded. What's that? In the war of Yisrael and Yehuda and Edom against Moab, they were finally attacking Moab, so the king of Moab went and put his own son, he killed his own son, and you can see Chazal linking it with Bat Yiftach, killed his own son and hung him up on the wall of the city, and it was like a last-ditch effort to get Elohei Moab to help support them, and so everybody, they left. Shenamar v'kach v'no b'chor shem loch tachtav y'alehu ola. V'lo dibarti, ze Yiftach. You see Chazal very clearly understand Yiftach killed his daughter. V'lo alta libi, ze Yitzchak ben Avraham. What is Yitzchak ben Avraham? It's a reference clearly to the Akedah, which, by the way, supports the Parshanut that the Akedah, and Rashi seems to understand it this way, in the Akedah, Avraham simply suffered from a lack of understanding. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Alei Hashem Le'olah, what does Rashi say? Alei Hashem Le'olah. He's got him up on the Zeach, he's about to kill him, and then the Malach comes and says, stop! Avraham says, what do you mean stop? You told me to take him. Say, yeah, I said, Ha'alehu. I told you, put him up on the Mizbeach. You put him up on the Mizbeach and I take him down. I didn't say kill him. Right? So the Navi says, you did all sorts of things that I never requested. I never requested the king of Moab to kill his son. I never requested Yiftach to kill his daughter. I never requested Avraham to kill Yitzchak.
Why include the king of Moab?
Yeah, I don't know. Amar Abrachia. Av Knesset Yisrael Shalash Shalok Kohogan. Right? Not only did these three individuals ask inappropriately, but even Knesset Yisrael themselves asked inappropriately. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yeshiva HaKohogen. Nonetheless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu helped us out. And you'll see why this Agadah is here. You would think this whole Agadah is here because you got to be careful when you ask for rain, you got to be aware that you're asking for rain in a general sense. It could be rain that comes in torrents. It could be a flood. And nonetheless, you ask, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to answer you, Kohogen. But you'll see, it actually comes to the backside of the Agadah. Shenemar, Am Yisrael says, "V'neidanu the fala data Adonai k'shachan achon motzaovi avocha geshem lanu." B'nei Yisrael said, "We are going to go and try to seek out God and understand God, just like the like a clear morning, and like the and He will come to us as rain." Amar laKadosh Baruch Hu. LaKadosh Baruch Hu said to them, "B'ti atshu elat tavar shepamim mitpakech, pamim el mitpakech." You're asking for something that you need sometimes you don't need. Rain is something you don't want all the time. Ayin Seattle. Right? Something that you want in the proper season. Instead, I am going to not answer your request exactly the way you asked, but I'm going to be something which is always needed. God's response is not, I will be the rain to you, I will be the dew for you. What's the dew? The dew is something you always need and is always there. Kodesh Baruch Hu says, BT, you don't want me to be here once in a while, and you certainly don't want to be here all the time in a way that sometimes is not needed and sometimes is negative. You want me to be here as something that's always a bracha. Therefore, I will be tal. The Od Shalash Shalom Kahogan, I'm going to say Yisrael asks something else that is inappropriate. This is a passage in Shir HaShirim, which of course Chazal understand to be a love song between Knesset Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Knesset Yisrael playing the role of the queen or the princess. The princess says, make me as a sign on your heart and on your arm. Amar la HaKadosh Baruch Hu, biti at shu'el tavar shepamim nireh pamim eno nireh. You're asking for something that sometimes is seen, sometimes is not seen. You have something in your heart. Sometimes it's seen, sometimes it's not seen. Rather, I will respond to you, but with a better response, right? Which is, I have engraved myself on your hands. Your hands are always seen. Now, the difference between the two responses of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Knesset Yisrael and the responses to the individuals are that the individuals ask for something that left open the range that it could be a very bad thing. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu instead sent a good thing. Here, in these two requests, Bnei Yisrael asked for, if you will, the wrong thing. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I'm not going to give you what you asked for. I'm going to give you something else, which is somewhat similar, but that is the right thing. I know what you really want. What you really want is to have, in the first case, my presence always there as a soothing bracha. In the second case, something that will always demonstrate that I'm with you. And therefore, you asked wrong, I'm going to fix it. If you want to see an example of that in Tanakh, take a look at David's request of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Legabe Ki'ila in Perak, I think it's 12 Perak Chavet, where David is concerned that the people of Ki'ila are going to hand him over to Shaul, and he asks two questions of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu only answers one. We saw this earlier in one of the Agadot we studied. Hashem only answered him one. And he answered him the second one. Because they're showing David, you asked in the wrong order, and you're not supposed to ask two questions of the Yisod at one time. And so David then went ahead and learned the lesson, and then asked the first question again to get that answer, which was really the second question. Now, back in the Mishnah, we saw the second Mishnah that was quoted was Ein Shoalin Etz Hagshamim El Hasamuch L'Hagshamim. We only make the request for rain around the rainy season. Good. The rest of the Mishnah then went back to the mention of rain, Hazkarat Shamim. Svarua, we think, in the Beis Medrash, they thought, She'ila v'Hazkara Chadamiltahi. They thought that She'ila and Hazkara is all one thing. In which case, who is it who says we start requesting / mentioning rain right around the rainy season? Nobody. Because everybody in our Mishnah talks about doing it either in the beginning of Sukkot or at the end of Sukkot. When is the rainy season, by the way? The rainy season is in early November, here in Israel. Mantana, Amarava, starts it. Amarava, Rav Yeshua, right? Amar, Mishatana, Chatov. Yeshua says, when do you start asking for rain? They're not mentioning rain, and of course, in their read, also asking. When you put the lulav down, meaning, Shmini Atzeret. Amarava, Abaya, Filu, Tenu, Rav Eliezer, right? You can even say it's Rav Eliezer. Shela, Lachud, Rav Kara, Lachud. The request and the mention aren't the same thing. Rav Elazar could say that you start mentioning rain the first day of Sukkot. Nonetheless, you start asking for it later on. They're not the same thing. In other words, Abaye was correcting the assumption, the mistaken assumption that the Talmidim had. The Ikad Amri, Lamer of Yeshuahi, some people just said it a little differently. Why don't we claim it's Rav Yeshua, Dhamma Shana Achato? Marav Afilu Tema Rav Eliezer, Shela Lachud, Vazkara Lachud. Same answer. In this case, Rav was the one who gave it. It seems, by the way, this discussion is all happening later than Abaye and Rava. And we have two versions of what happened in Abaye and Rava's time. It was either Abaye or Rava who corrected the students' misunderstanding that She'ela and Hazkara were the same. Indeed, they are different. The last part of the Mishnah that we read, which was the first half of the second Mishnah, had Rabbi Yehuda telling us the formula that we all follow, which is the Baal Musaf on the second day on Shmini Atzeret, jumping ahead. The Baal Musaf on Shmini Atzeret starts mentioning rain, and that happens through the Baal Shachrit of the first day of Pesach. Starting with the Baal Musaf of the first day of Pesach, rain is not mentioned anymore. That's indeed what we do. All right, now, Raminu, Ad Matai Sholim Takshamim, until when do we continue asking for rain? Rabbi Yehuda Omer Ad Sheyavor Pesach. Right? Rabbi Yehuda says you request it all the way through Pesach. Well, Ad Sheyavor Pesach. We'll leave that alone, not translated yet. Rameh Omer Ad Sheyavor Nisan. Rameh says all the way through the month of Nisan. Amar Rav Chista Lokasha. Kan Lisho, Kan Lahazkir. So Rav Chista says, I don't understand what the challenge is. Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah said that you mention rain starting on Musaf of Shmini Atzeret and ending with Shachrit of Pesach. And here he's talking about asking for rain. But you realize what's wrong with Rav Chista's statement. Rav Chista's statement then means we're not going to mention rain anymore once we're already into Pesach, but let's keep asking for it. Doesn't make sense. Mishal Shavu Azil Lahavki B'Yodur Yishol Pasik. So you request until the end of Pesach, meaning through Chol HaMoed, but you stop mentioning it on the first day. So Amar Ula, Hadar Rav Chista Kasha Kachomet L'Shinan L'Chal Shem L'Einayim. He quotes a pasuk from Mishlei, because it's nicer than what he would have to say. He said, this statement of Rav Chista doesn't make sense. It's like vinegar in the teeth and smoke in the eyes. Don't start singing. Umav Makom She'ino Shoel Mazkir. So think about it. When you don't yet request, meaning Shmini Atzeret, and right after Shmini Atzeret, you're already mentioning Hashem. V'makom she'shoel anodin she'im azkir. In a time when you're asking, certainly you're going to mention, which means how can you say you stop mentioning Geshem, but you keep asking for Geshem? It's upside down. We all know, and we know this is easy for us because it's what we do in practice, that the season of mentioning rain is longer than the season of asking for rain. Horaya, we start mentioning rain on Shmini Atzeret, and we don't start asking for rain until after that. When after that, we're going to get to. And you'll be surprised by the conclusion of the Gemara. Because everybody here is going to say December 4th. And then somebody's going to say, no, it's December 3rd. Right? But, you'll see. Ela Amar Ula, Trey Tanoi Alibin Rabbi Yehuda. Ula says there's simply machloket Tanaim about what Rabbi Yehuda said. Did Rabbi Yehuda say you stop rain stuff, meaning mention and request, on the first morning of Pesach, or at the end of Pesach? Machloket. Meaning, whenever you stop asking, you're going to stop mentioning. You're not going to keep asking for rain and then stop mentioning that God makes it rain. That's Ula. And on the page, you notice that I bolded Ula, and you'll see why. Rav Yosef from Rav Yosef has another answer. My Ad Sheyavor Pesach, what is Ad Sheyavor Pesach? And this is why I pulled back from translating it. Ad Sheyavor Shliach Tzibor Rishon, Ayurei B'Yom Tov Rishon Tzav Pesach. Until the first Shliach Tzibor and Pesach finishes his davening. In other words, he tries to reconcile them by monkeying around with the word Sheyavor. Right? Ad Sheyavor, meaning not the holiday passes, but like La'avor L'Tzmei Ateva. So Amar Abaya, She'ela B'Yom Tov Mi'ika. Abaya says, what do you mean? What do you mean you stop asking after the first guy davenes on Shachrit Pesach? You don't ask for rain on Yontif. It's not part of the davening. Amar Le'in, Shoel Maturgaman. So Rav Yosef says, yes, indeed, the Shliach Tzibur doesn't do it, but a Maturgaman gets up there before davening and says, we're asking for rain. What, the Maturgaman gets up and makes requests? You know, like a Mishabelach or something? For something we don't need? After all, we don't want rain in Pesach. It must be that Ula is right. There's just two traditions about Rabbi Yehuda. Rabba Amar, answer number four. My Ad Sheyavor Pesach, meaning Ad Sheyavor Zman Shchitat HaPesach. Now, this is not at all bad because what does Pesach really mean? When is really is Pesach? Pesach is the 14th. Chag HaMatzot starts on the 15th. So Ad Sheyavor Pesach means until the end of the day of Pesach. Not bad. Of course, the problem is that in rabbinic Hebrew, Pesach means the seven-day holiday. Right? Just like the getaway. Right? In the Torah, Pesach is the 14th. And we're commenting on rabbinic Hebrew. Uchilato ken sofo. Meaning, the beginning of request is like the end of request. Just like at the beginning, you start mentioning Geshem before asking. Similarly, you end the asking before you end the request, the mention. You end asking on Mincha of Pesach. By the way, this is true. You do end asking on Mincha of Pesach before the Seder, and you start mentioning it the next morning. It's the last Mashiv Ruach. So Amar Abaye. So Abaye says, Bishu matchilat omazkir, haskana nami ritzui she'elahi. Abaye says, I understand why you start mentioning, this goes back to what we studied yesterday, the lulav and nisach hamayim. I understand why you begin mentioning Geshem before you start requesting. Because mention is sort of like a warm-up to asking. You want to sort of bring the topic to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But why would you be mentioning it after you stopped asking? You don't want it anymore. So why are you still mentioning it? Mentioning it is not just Shevach, it's also part of request. El Nechvar Tekar Ula. He says again, it must be like Ula. Simply, whenever you stop asking, you stop mentioning. And there's two versions of Rabbi Yehuda, either through Pesach or at the beginning of Pesach. And we ask him, Rabbi Yochanan, Halacha ka Rabbi Yehuda. Very good. Halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. The question is, which Rabbi Yehuda? Because if we accept Ula, that means we have two versions of Rabbi Yehuda. So now let's see. Amale Rabbi Zeila al Rav Asi. Umi amar Rabbi Yochanan hachi. Since when did Rabbi Yochanan say Halacha Rabbi Yehuda? But none. We have the famous Mishnah that's later on in our parak, which is going to then kick us into the schedule of fast. Tana Kama says, when do you start requesting Geshem? When do you start requesting Geshem? Third of Marcheshvan. Why Bishivabo? To give you 2 full weeks to get home from the Beit HaMikdash. So that all the Olei Regel can get home before it starts raining. Assumption being, when you start requesting it, it's going to start raining. You want to request it when it's a bad thing. The Amar Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Elazar, by the way, is a Talmud, a close Talmud of Rabbi Yochanan, so we assume that whatever Rabbi Elazar, not Rabbi Eliezer, the Tana, Rabbi Elazar, first generation of Mora in Tveria, that we assume that whatever Rabbi Elazar says is going to be similar to Rabbi Yochanan's position. We're saying, since when did Rabbi Yochanan say Halacha Rabbi Yehuda? After all, Rabbi Elazar said Halacha Rabbi Gamliel. So Amar Lei, Gavra Karavid, what you're challenging Rabbi Yochanan by using Rabbi Elazar? They could disagree. It doesn't have to be that they agree. But even if you want to put them together, I've got an answer. That's easy. After all, Rabbi Yehuda was simply talking about when we mention rain. We do start mentioning rain on Musaf of Shmini Atzeret. And this Mishnah is talking about when we start asking for rain. Start asking for rain 2 weeks later on the 7th of Marcheshvan. The Amar Rabbi Yochanan, by the way, that's an interesting shayla that comes up that all the people who go on the Thanksgiving missions have to deal with. Because what happens when you go to Eretz Yisrael, and they've already started asking for rain on Zayin Marcheshvan, which is the halacha, and you're in Eretz Yisrael, you're there for a week, Nagid, but you haven't started asking here, and you're coming back before December 3rd, so what do you do? Do you start asking for rain because you're in Eretz Yisrael, and then when you come back, you stop until December 3rd, or do you start asking for rain, and then just because you've started, you continue? But you say, I don't start asking for rain because I'm going to be going back. So, okay. The Amar Rabbi Yochanan. This is not Yom HaShir, not Halacha L'Maaseh Shir. The Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Malkom Sheshoel Mazkir. Rabbi Yochanan said, whenever you mention, you request, meaning that mentioning and request are at the same time. So how can you resolve the conflict by saying one is talking about request and one is talking about mention? So Ahulav Sake Itmar. No, what Rabbi Yochanan said was you stop at the same time, but you don't start at the same time. Ah, Rabbi Yochanan Maitchil Azkir, Maitchil Yishol, Pasak Yishol, Posek Milazkir. Rabbi Yochanan said when you start mentioning, you start asking. When you stop asking, you stop mentioning. The two go together. Alo Kasha, Halan Halahu. The answer is very simple. One of those rulings is for Baza, one of those rulings is for Eretz Yisrael. Now let's see which is which. For us in Bavel, why do we say we don't start asking until a little later? Because in Bavel, their harvest season lasted longer. So we still have fruit out in the field at the end of October. We don't want it to rain because we have to go out and harvest them. But what are you talking about? Near Israel, they've got another problem. After Yom Tov, they got people traveling, going back from Yerushalayim. So Kikam Rabbi Yochanan is launching Beit HaMikdash. When did Rabbi Yochanan say that we begin asking right away? When there is no more Beit HaMikdash after the Korban. So once you got that solution, how the hell would you do? You could say all of the rulings are for Israel. So when there was a Beit HaMikdash, he would say start asking in Marcheshvan. Give people time to go home. When there is no more Beit HaMikdash, no more pilgrimage, no more issue of people going home after Sukkot, then when you get asking right away. Now, Va'anan, to eat lon treyomi. We, in Bavel, have 2 days young. So what do we do with the mention of rain? Watch these shitot. They'll smoke you. Because what do we do in practice? And we all know this. What do we do in practice? On Shmini Atzeret, Musaf, we announce Mashiva Ruach, starts saying Mashiach Ruach, and that's it until Pesach. Hefi Avdina, I'm a Rav. So watch what Rav says. Matchil b'musafin, Musaf of Shmini Atzeret. You start asking. But remember, Shmini Atzeret is a Sufek Shvi, Sufek Shmini, which is why what do we do on Shmini Atzeret? We see it instead of Sukkah. Without a bracha, we set the Sukkah because Sufek Shmini. Sufek Shvi. So Rav says, Matchil b'musafin, Musaf of Shmini Atzeret, because it really is, or in their world, it very likely was really Shmini Atzeret, they would start asking, they would start mentioning. And then you don't say Mashiv Aruch again in Mariv, in Mincha, Mariv, and Shacharit of second day Yontif, what later became called Simchas Torah. Then you start again, Musaf Simchas Torah. You have two beginnings of Geshem. Amaru Shmuel. Shmuel said, Puku v'imu leil Abba. Go tell Abba. Which Rav, what was Rav's real name, by the way? Rav's real name was Abba Aricha. So he says, go tell Abba. Go tell Rav. Achasha sito kodesha seuchol. Wait, you've already declared that this day is really Shmini Atzeret by calling Geshem. You're going to then tell people not to mention Mincha and then turn it into Ki'ilu, a whole day, like it's Hashana Rabba? Ela Amar Shmuel Atzil Musafim Mincha. What do? You say Mashi Ruach in Musaf and in Mincha, so you don't then turn the day into a whole day. Uposek Aviv Shacharit, and then you don't say it in Mariv and Shacharit of the second day Yontif, and Chozer Atzil Musafim, then at Musaf again you start up. Rav Amar Kevan Shitchil Shuvin Oposek. That's of course the halacha. Once you begin mentioning, you don't stop. You start mentioning Mashiv Aruch, and you continue. Achen Arshesh Kevan Shitchil Shuvin Oposek. The Af Rav Hadabe, Rav who had that first shita, and you just say Musaf and then stop for another day, he changed his mind. The Amar Kanal Rav Moneh Esum Dachad Yom. You count 21 days from Rosh Hashanah. Keder Shemoneh Asarei Nim Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippurim Umatchil. That's when you start Geshem. Once you begin requesting, you don't stop. And that indeed is the halakha. Once you begin requesting, you no longer stop.